Don't touch that dial. It's time for the Chrysler Air Temp Program. Fibber McGee and the good old days of radio. The makers of Chrysler Air Temp, air conditioning for the home, for business, and for industry, bring you Fibber McGee and the good old days of radio. Written by Phil Leslie and starring Jim Jordan, Hal Perry, Chuck Shaden, great voices from radio's golden age, and me, Larry Thor. Tonight you'll hear again great sounds from not so long ago. Sounds from those golden days when radio was radio and every night a new adventure. So come with us for the next hour as we visit once again with Fibber McGee and the good old days of radio. This year at Air Temp, we're celebrating a mighty important event in air conditioning history, our 40th anniversary. Yes, Air Temp started cooling people way back in 1934. That's when Walter P. Chrysler put the finishing touches on his famous Chrysler building in New York City. And one of those touches was central air conditioning, the first of its kind in a modern skyscraper, engineered and built by Chrysler. Air Temp's been at it ever since, cooling everything under the sun, homes, schools, offices, factories, every kind of building and every kind of room in every kind of climate. And all through the years, from 1934 to 1974, Air Temp has put something into air conditioning nobody else can. Chrysler Engineering. It all adds up to the most modern air conditioning. Quiet, efficient, dependable. That's why, despite all the changes 40 years can bring, Air Temp quality is still the finest. Choose Chrysler Air Temp with confidence.
In Kansas City, Missouri, your Chrysler Air Temp dealer is Jack Borings with six savings centers in Greater Kansas City. In Lamar, Missouri, your Chrysler Air Temp dealer is Medlin Frieden Hardware. And in Lewisburg, Kansas, your Chrysler Air Temp dealer is Windish Refrigeration. See their complete line of Air Temp room air conditioners soon.
This is the story of a young man who grew up with radio and of another man who grew up in radio. Chuck Shaden, super fan of the sounds of the past. And Fibber McGee, super heterodyne owner of the present. This is the story that asks the question, can these two find happiness as they tune into those thrilling shows of yesteryear? Return with us now to 79 Wistful Vista, where we may find the answer.
Doggone it, I still can't get this radio going, Chuck. I've been working on it all day long.
Oh, gee, I thought we were going to hear some of those great old Wednesday shows tonight, Mr. McGee. Can you find the trouble? Can you get it fixed? And can I help?
No. This is no job for an amateur, Chuck. This takes a guy with experience and talent and know-how. And what you doing under the table there?
Plugging it into the wall plug here.
Oh, yeah, I was going to do that next. Smart punk. There. I told you I'd get this baby working, Chuck.
I never doubted you for a minute, Mr. McGee. Can you set the tuner for Wednesday? A good old Wednesday, way back when?
Wednesday it is. There you are. Let her warm up a minute. Well, we think of what we want to hear.
Boy, I don't know where to start. I used to listen to everything from the Breakfast Club to the Supper Club.
From one end to the other, eh?
Yeah, from Wayne King to Ellery Queen. From the Life of Riley to Death Valley Days.
Okay, I know what you mean. I used to get up at 6 a.m. to listen to the National Farm and Home Hour myself back in the early 40s. That was before your time, I guess.
You're right, I never got up that early.
They used to broadcast all kinds of farm news. Tips on how to grow better crops and all stuff like that there.
You were interested in farming?
I always like to grow things, Chuck. You know, experiment. Crossing things with things to get other things. Things that was different from the things I crossed things with to get the things I got. You know what I mean.
Oh, yes, I think I do.
Wow. Like one time I crossed a grape with a cantaloupe. Figured if I could grow grapes the size of cantaloupes, I could make a fortune.
How did it work?
In reverse. I got a crop of cantaloupes the size of grapes. Stuffed them with pimentos and sold them for olives to a martini factory and... Wait a minute. I think we're getting something.
Hey, I know what I'd like to hear first, if you can get it. Remember Duffy's Tavern, where the elite meet to eat?
Oh, sure. Archie the manager speaking. Duffy ain't here. The elite met and ate there for years. If I can get this thing cooled just right now, maybe we can...
Duffy's Tavern, where the elite meets to eat. Esther Williams is coming tonight. Archie the Mermaid speaking. Oh, hello, Duffy. Yep, Esther Williams herself. Well, you've seen pictures of her, ain't you? And you heard that one picture is as good as 1,000 words? Duffy, this dame is the book of the month. Well, she's going to model in a fashion show here tonight. You'd like Mrs. Duffy to be a model, too. Duffy, Mrs. Duffy ain't a model, too. She's a model T. She has a $1 million figure, huh? What she has, it's all in loose change. Well, anyway, this fashion show will be great publicity, Duffy. You know, I got a terrific slogan. Come to Duffy's, where rags are muffins if worn for Raymond's sake. What does it mean? Nothing. It's just catchy, like cement mixer, putty-putty. Well, look, Duffy, I'm busy. I'll call you back.
Say, Archie.
Yeah, Miss Duffy.
I hear you're going to have a fashion show here tonight.
And to whom does that concern?
Well, I thought you might need a model.
Well, we got Esther Williams.
When I'm around, why do you need Esther Williams?
That's right. Ain't much difference between you. Esther looks like she was poured into a bathing suit, and you look like you was poured into a bathing suit. Only in your case, they forgot to say when. Now, look, Miss Duffy, you ain't gonna be a model here just because you was voted Miss Other End of the Davenport of 1945.
Now, listen, Archie, there are other qualifications to modeling besides good looks.
In that case, maybe you've got them. What are they?
Well, posture and carriage. And...
carriage? Miss Duffy, if you'll excuse the pun, in your case, there's not enough carriage and too much wagon. What are the other qualifications?
Well, in order to show off clothes, a girl must know exactly how to walk back and forth.
And this you know?
Of course.
Okay, I'll call up Adrian. Maybe he needs a picket.
Oh, Wednesday night at Duffy's Tavern. Always fun.
Yeah, they had quite a cast of characters there, all right.
Did you know that in real life, Miss Duffy was actually Mrs. Archie?
Come again?
Well, Miss Duffy was played by Shirley Booth, and Shirley Booth was the wife of Ed Gardner. And Ed Gardner was the man who created the show and then played the role of Archie for as long as it was on the air.
No kidding. I wonder why he named it Duffy's Tavern, though. Duffy was never there.
Nobody missed him, that's for sure.
It's funny the kind of names people come up with, Chuck.
Yeah.
You probably didn't know this, but when Macaroni and them guys first invented radio, they didn't know what they'd invented.
They didn't?
No, they didn't know this thing here was a radio. They called it a wireless set. Imagine that.
Well, that's
wireless,
probably...
my clavicle. This old radio's got more messed up wires than a Western Union wastebasket. The inside of this thing looks like a double order of dirty spaghetti.
I don't care what they call it, Mr. McGee, as long as you can keep it working. What else can we get from some way back Wednesday there?
Well, I'm looking. There were some good Law and Order shows on Wednesday in those days, Chuck.
I remember. I used to listen to Ellery Queen and The Thin Man.
Yeah, and Louis E. Laws.
Louis E. Laws?
He was the warden at Sing Sing Prison. He was on a show called 20,000 Years at Sing Sing.
That's right. You know, but the Wednesday night crime show I liked best was the one that always came on like gangbusters.
Which one was that?
Gangbusters.
Oh, yeah.
They always had big-name crime fighters as guests.
Guests by proxy, Chuck. They weren't really on the show, just on by proxy.
That's right. I remember they'd say, "Here's Chief Thompson of the Chicago Police Department," by proxy, "with the true story," by proxy, "of the Tommy Gun Gang," by proxy.
I used to know a kid named Tommy Gun. I wonder if he was one of the guys.
And now, in cooperation with police and federal law enforcement departments throughout the United States, Gangbusters. Gangbusters, the only national program that brings you authentic police case histories, has asked Thomas J. McGrath, retired lieutenant, Chicago Police Department, to narrate by proxy tonight's case. Lieutenant McGrath.
The man who lived through tonight's case, Gangbusters listeners, was second-grade detective Donald Ballard. He was neither more brave nor more intelligent than a score of other young men who could have been chosen for the assignment he accepted. One thing only prompted his selection: the fact that he had been born and raised on the West Coast. As far as Detective Ballard was concerned, the beginnings of what for him were to be 5 days of violence occurred 1,000 feet above Kansas City.
Your attention, please. This is the captain speaking. We're letting down at Kansas City. It will not be a serious delay, but we must ask you to leave the ship for about 15 minutes while a check is made on the air conditioning.
Nothing wrong with the air conditioning, Gangbusters listeners. The airline was cooperating with an urgent request made by the police department of the city of Chicago, with the cooperation of the Kansas City police. What brought about the unscheduled landing was a passenger of about 30, tall, very well dressed, very dangerous. His name was Frank Luston. As the plane set down and taxied in, three men waited at a window overlooking the field of the Kansas City terminal. Captain Peter Steele and Detective Ballard of the Chicago Police and Captain Norman Marcus of the Kansas City Force.
Well, that's our plane, Captain Steele. The pilot's coming in.
Yes. Ballard?
Yes, Captain.
We'll have a few minutes to talk after Captain Marcus makes the pinch.
All right, sir.
Now, you better keep out of sight and watch Luston. Watch him for any particular mannerisms. You may have to copy them.
All right, sir.
Captain Steele?
Yes, right here.
I'm Captain Charles, the pilot. I was instructed to see you as soon as I brought the ship in.
Well, this is Captain Marcus of the Kansas City Police and Detective Ballard of the Chicago Force. Our man aboard, Captain?
Well, I checked the manifest when the radio message came. Frank Luston, tall man.
Well, can you point him out to us?
Yes, sir. He should be in the terminal by now.
Mm-hmm.
Look, that's Luston over there, Captain. At the newsstand.
Free magazine, 70 cents in the gum.
Hello, Luston. Now, just a minute, I'm talking to you.
Me?
That's right. Just move on over here. We're police officers. Give him a good frisk, Marcus.
What's the beef?
Oh, just want to ask you a couple of questions, Frankie.
Okay. What's the beef?
You find anything on him?
Ah. Loaded 38. Got a permit for this, Frankie?
Left at home, cop, along with my hunting license.
We don't like mugs carrying guns around our city.
Look, I'm just flying out of here.
I save it. We got plenty of judges you can talk to.
I'll do my talking to a mouthpiece.
Come on, Luston.
Come in.
Hello, pal.
Hiya, Chuck.
Hello, Larry. Oh, hi, Breezy. What's the big idea of busting in on Gangbusters?
Oh, you guys still on that old-time radio kick?
You bet we are.
We were just listening to Gangbusters.
Oh, I've always had a warm spot in my heart for that show.
Was that because they used to broadcast clues about your relatives at the end of each program? Be on the lookout for loudmouth Thor, scar on right cheek, tattoo on left forearm, wart on tip of the nose.
No, it's just that Chrysler Air Temp started making air conditioners back in 1934. And that same year, federal agents, the G-Men, cooled off John Dillinger, Pretty Boy Floyd, and Babyface Nelson.
Well, what that got to do?
1934 was a real gangbusters year. Of course, most things have changed radically since then.
I'll say they have.
But there's one thing that has stood the test of time.
And what might that be?
Air Temp's dedication to quality and air conditioning equipment. And you can prove it for yourself now during Chrysler Air Temp's 40th anniversary.
You mean if a guy wants to keep his cool, Junior, all he has to do is...
simply see the new 1974 Air Temp room air conditioners at his local Chrysler Air Temp dealer.
Sounds reasonable.
Right. This year, your Chrysler Air Temp dealer also has something more. Air Temp 40th anniversary values.
Values, hey?
He not only offers a number of 7.5-amp room air conditioners that plug in and play without special wiring, he also has a wide variety of high-efficiency models.
I knew a model once named Effie.
Air Temp room air conditioners are the only ones with Chrysler Engineering. Chrysler's extra care in engineering gives you extra comfort in your home or place of business.
Is that so?
See your dealer soon for a look at his 1974 AirTemp line of room air conditioners, AirTemp 40th anniversary values, and Chrysler Engineering. Three outstanding reasons to choose Chrysler AirTemp with confidence. Your local announcer has the address.
In Kansas City, Missouri, your Chrysler AirTemp dealer is Jack Borings with six savings centers in Greater Kansas City. In Lamar, Missouri, your Chrysler AirTemp dealer is Medlin Frieden Hardware. And in Lewisburg, Kansas, your Chrysler AirTemp dealer is Windish Refrigeration. See their complete line of AirTemp room air conditioners soon.
Hey, Breezy.
Yeah, pal?
Can you give us a hand with this old radio?
Oh, sorry. I've got to see a man about a gang, Buster.
Ouch. Well, so long, Breezy.
Bye, pal. Bye, Chuck.
Those Chrysler people ought to hire him a writer, because that stuff he thinks up his shelf is going to burn.
Uh-oh, what happened?
I don't know. Stopped again. We'll have to wait a while, I guess.
I was just thinking, what a fantastic thing radio is, Mr. McGee.
Yeah.
You know, we all take it for granted now, of course, but it really is a miracle.
It'll be a miracle if I can get this dad-ratted thing to work again.
I think one of the most important things radio ever did, right from its earliest days, was to bring us the news, you know, right into our living room.
Yep. For the first time in history, people didn't have to wait for tomorrow's paper to find out what's going on. We got the news right when it happened.
Yes, sir.
You could turn on the radio after dinner, and in 15 minutes, your whole evening was ruined. Most depressing thing they ever thought of.
Well, even so, but radio...
I'll never forget one newscast I heard. In just 5 minutes, mind you, we were told that Public Enemy Number 1 was loose again, the Japanese were getting stronger in the Pacific, another oil tanker was sunk, the stock market went down, milk prices were up, gas was being rationed, and there was trouble in the government.
Wow, was that during the war?
That was last night.
Well, that figures. Say, I've got a question for you.
A question?
Let's see how good your memory is about the old days.
Shoot.
What show, once heard on Wednesday, made its biggest hit when it changed to Saturday?
Oh, that's easy. I could name half a dozen of them. There was, started on Wednesday, huh?
Right, started on Wednesday, got to be a big hit on Saturday night.
Don't tell me now. Don't tell me. I know that show as well as I know my own. Now, let me see.
I'll give you a hint. There was a parade of stars on it.
It was a big hit and there was a parade. Oh, I got it. Manhattan Merry-Go-Round, right?
No, the hit parade.
Oh, yeah, the hit parade. Well, that's what I meant, the hit parade.
It was on Wednesday nights for a long time, but most people remember hearing the top hits on Saturday night.
Oh, sure. You can ask me anything about them days, Chuck, and I remember. I got a memory like a...
An elephant?
Yeah, elephant. I never forget. Now, let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
There was a guy who had a show on Wednesday nights that his name started with a K. I'll give you a few hints because...
Well, wait, I know. H.V. Kaltenborn.
No.
Swing and Sway with Sammy Kay.
No.
Danny Kay. Kate Smith.
No. There was more than one K in it.
Kelton Myers Kindergarten.
No. K-K-K-K.
Oh, I know. Kate Kaiser's College of Musical Knowledge.
It's about time.
Can you get it? See if you can tune him in. The old professor himself.
I'll get him.
Well, that's fine. You know, tonight, chillin, we're holding class with Uncle Sam's fighting Navy flyers at Los Alamitos, right in the middle of a cow pasture. Yeah. But the cows love me here. They really do. Yeah. Every Wednesday at this time, they like to sit around the radio and listen to the bull. Well, you know, Los Alamitos is a very gay metropolis. Yes. All a sailor has to do to see a lot of pretty girls is to go to Los Alamitos and stand on a corner for a while. And when a bus goes by, grab it and go to Los Angeles. Well, you know, things may be tough here about the girls, but they really train these flyers to man those aircraft carriers. I said to one flyer, Say, would you like to be attached to a baby flat top? He said, you show me a babe and I'll go for her for heads of squares or 2x4.
It's quiz time, Fess. First contestant for the Flying Navy.
And he might be the one to grab the gravy. You should...
A day in radio with Ish K. Bibble. First program, news event. Berlin, Germany. Germans dreading the great hour.
What hour?
Eisenhower. Sporting event. Famous golfer Ish K. Bibble shoots 18-hole match with Bobby Jones for $1 a hole.
How'd you come out?
$18 in the hole.
How'd you like that?
Boy, it sure brings back memories. You know, they're all scattered around now, of course. Kate Kaiser married Georgia Carroll. They live in North Carolina now.
Yeah.
Ish K. Bibble, he's retired and living in Hawaii. I sure loved hearing it again. There were so many great funny shows that I never missed.
Yeah. Jack Carson had a funny show on Wednesday night.
Right. And remember Ann Southern in a show called Maisie?
Mm-hmm. One of my favorites was before your time, probably. It was called Cavalcade of America.
Oh, that was way back there, wasn't it?
Yeah, that started in 1935. It was all about America. How great this country is, stories about great Americans.
That reminds me. Speaking of great, there was a Wednesday show I'd like to hear right now. Great Gildersleeve.
Ah, Gildersleeve. Who needs that old blowhard?
Oh, I'd love to hear him
again. That self-inflating windbag lived right next door here for years. When he finally moved away, there was dancing in the streets.
Ah, you don't mean that. He moved to Summerfield, and he was on every Wednesday night for a long time.
Yeah, too long. There's a lot of good shows we haven't heard yet. I can sure do without that Gildersleeve.
Well, I just thought that while we were here, we could...
In fact, we may have to do without anybody. I can't seem to get this thing going again.
What's the matter with it?
I think when you mentioned old Gildy, this radio got sick to its stomach.
Well, if the radio's sick, maybe we ought to get a radio doctor on it.
Come to think of it, there were some good doctor shows on radio in those days, Chuck.
The Crime Doctor, yeah. And Dr. Kildare.
Young Dr. Malone. And remember Dr. Christian?
Yeah, that was the program where they invited listeners to send in scripts, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I took them up on it once, too. I wrote a terrific script for that show.
You did? What was it about?
It was a very touching story about a young couple in love. Only they couldn't get married on account of because the guy was a prisoner in the Illinois State Prison.
Illinois State Prison?
Yeah, I called it Romeo and Joliet. Because with a title like that, you see... I think this baby's coming to life again.
Romeo and Joliet probably shook it up.
You know a show I just remembered? Mr. District Attorney, remember?
Yeah, every Wednesday night. And boy, when the DA and Harrington, when they went after a crook, nothing stopped them.
The only thing stopping us is this cranky old radio, and if I can't get it... Oh, here it comes.
Mr. District Attorney, champion of the people, defender of truth, guardian of our fundamental rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
It shall be my duty as district attorney not only to prosecute to the limit of the law all persons accused of crimes perpetrated within this county, but to defend with equal vigor the rights and privileges of all its citizens.
As our case opens tonight, your district attorney and Harrington are seated at a council table in a hot, stuffy courtroom. They've been impatiently awaiting the return of a jury who have spent many hours deliberating a verdict. Word has come that this verdict has been reached. Spectators have filed into the room. The judge has returned to the bench. Finally, a side door is opened and the jury returns. Silently, they enter the jury box. An air of tense excitement grips the court as the clerk calls upon the foreman of the jury to rise. In droning tones, he asks, "How say you? Do you find this defendant guilty or not guilty?"
"We, the jury, find him not guilty."
"Huh? Oh, gee, did you hear that?"
"Yes, I heard it."
"Oh, what a swindle."
"I don't understand it."
"Why, a bunch of 10-year-old kids that know Stanley committed that murder."
"I thought we had everything we needed on this one. But evidently there was a reasonable doubt in the minds of the jurors."
"A reasonable doubt?
Oh, look at Stanley grinning all over the place.
He should be. He'll never be as lucky again.
Oh, look at... Hey. Hmm? Hey, he's coming over here.
Yes.
Hiya, Mr. D.A.
Hello, Stanley.
Ain't you gonna congratulate me?
For what?
For winning the Duke.
You still done that killing, Stanley?
Hey, how did Jerry call it? That's what they pay off on. See you later, boys.
Oh, brother. How could they let that punk off?
I don't know. One thing is certain, though.
What's that,
Jim? This merely postpones Mr. Stanley's engagement with the chair.
How come?
He's a professional killer and will continue to be one. The next time we pick him up, we'll make it stick.
Oh, Chief.
Yes, Harrington.
Did you see the morning papers?
You mean the account of the trial?
Yeah, they certainly blasted that verdict yesterday.
Yes, I know.
They took particular pains, though, to point out that it wasn't your fault.
Well, unfortunately, that isn't much consolation.
No.
Excuse me, Chief.
Yes, Miss Miller.
There's a Mrs. Clark in the outer office.
Yes.
She was one of the jurors on the Stanley case.
Oh. She want to see me?
Yes, sir.
You know what about?
Well, I don't know. She said it's important.
All right, have her come in.
Yes, sir.
Wonder what this is, Chief.
I don't know.
You remember Mrs. Clark?
Oh, yes, of course. How do you do, Mrs. Clark? This is Mr. Harrington.
How do you do, Mrs. Clark?
Sit down, won't you?
Yes. Very well.
Now, what can I do for you?
Well, I have something to tell you. It has to do with the trial.
Yes?
I feel that there's something very suspicious about the verdict. That's why I came here.
Yeah, you better get your pad and pencil, Miss Miller.
I have it right here. I'll take this down, Chief.
Thank you. And just what are your suspicions, Mrs. Clark?
Well, in the beginning, most of us believed that Stanley was guilty of the murder.
Mm-hmm.
But there was one man especially who insisted he wasn't. And, well, he had a lot to say about it.
Yeah, who was that?
Mr. Taylor, he was the foreman.
Yes, I remember him.
He insisted that Stanley was innocent.
And what did he base this on?
Well, he never would give a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Just kept saying he knew he wasn't guilty.
Well, how did he get everyone else to come around to his way of thinking?
Well, the first change came when we were taken out to lunch the second day.
Mm-hmm.
This Mr. Taylor sat with two other men on the jury. And when we returned... Well, they had changed their vote to not guilty.
Did they give any reason for this change?
No. These two men were more or less leaders. Their changeover gradually influenced most of the others. And finally, by the third day, another juror and myself were the only two who were for conviction.
Well, what made you both switch?
Well, at dinner time, this Mr. Taylor sat with the man who was siding with me.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever went on there... made him change his mind.
So after dinner, you were the lone holder?
Yes.
And then you finally just gave up?
Oh, no.
No?
Well, I mean, I was prepared to stand my ground to the finish when I received a message from an attendant. It was about my son.
Yes?
It said he was coming home on a final furlough before going overseas, and he'd only be in town overnight.
And, of course, you wanted to see it.
Yes. And besides, by this time, all the others agreed he wasn't guilty, so I voted with them.
Well, I can understand that.
But the message wasn't true, sir.
What do you mean?
My son called me this morning from camp. He knew nothing about it.
Hey.
That's really what convinced me I should come here.
Well, I'm certainly glad you did, Mrs. Clark.
You think that Taylor guy had anything to do with the phony message?
I don't know.
Well, I think we should try to find out. I'd like to have a talk with this man, Taylor, and find out where he can be located, Harrington, and bring him in for questioning.
Mr. D.A., champion of the people. Boy, the crooks sure got their lumps when he went after them.
Yeah, you bet. It was easy to tell the bad guys from the good guys in them days, too. Nowadays, you can't always tell it. Wait a minute. I think I'm getting some more. Dad, that is a lost.
During the daytime and evening, too.
Hey, isn't that Mr. District Attorney?
Sounds more like Mr. Larry Thor, the announcer who was here a little while ago.
It wouldn't surprise me. That guy shows up in more spots than a pound of chocolate at a teenage slumber party.
And speaking of slumber, remember those hot, muggy nights last summer when you tossed and turned, unable to get the rest you needed?
If somebody tossed me 2 cents, I'd turn off, old Breezy, and get all the rest I need, pronto.
Well, this year you can forget those sleepless nights. Your local Airtemp dealer has the answer. A complete line of room air conditioners for every need and budget. There's never been a better time than right now to take your pick.
Old Breezy ought to take a shovel.
Because this is Chrysler Air Temp's 40th anniversary, and their 40 years of experience adds up to the finest modern room air conditioners. Quiet, efficient, dependable.
Oh, really?
And today, when you choose Air Temp, you get more than a better room air conditioner.
You get the only one with Chrysler Engineering.
You get the only one with Chrysler Engineering.
What did I say?
That's double value. So see your Chrysler Air Temp dealer soon for a look at his 1974 Air Temp line of room air conditioners. And he'll show you some really fine values. In addition, he'll offer you something special from the good old days. An exclusive Air Temp 40th anniversary memento.
Oh, I like mementos, especially when they're stuffed into olives.
A rib-tickling record of the good old days of radio, featuring comedy highlights from radio's golden age. It's a $5.95 value, yours from Air Temp for only a dollar.
Hot dog. Wow, I wish I had a copy.
To get your record, see your participating Chrysler Air Temp dealer and his complete line of Air Temp room air conditioners for 1974. Your local announcer has the address.
In Independence, Missouri, your Chrysler Air Temp dealer is Intercity Appliance at 10200 East Independence Avenue. In South Kansas City, your Chrysler Air Temp dealer is Riley's House of Television and Appliance at two convenient locations. And in Mission, Kansas, your Chrysler Air Temp dealer is Davenport Appliance. See their complete line of Air Temp room air conditioners soon.
You're listening to Fibber McGee and the Good Old Days of Radio, brought to you by Chrysler Air Temp and their thousands of dealers coast to coast. After you put good money in a room air conditioner, what happens if it goes on the bum? With most, after a year, you're on your own. But Chrysler Air Temp backs you up for 5 years. If you're the original purchaser of an Air Temp room air conditioner and a parts defective, all you pay for is labor. Air Temp gives you a free replacement, any part in any machine. If it's Air Temp's fault, Air Temp takes care of it. If the kid busts it up, you pay. Now, how about the expensive stuff? The compressor, the condenser, the evaporator, and all the interconnecting tubing? If any of those are defective, Air Temp not only pays for the part, Air Temp pays for the labor, too. You just bring the air conditioner to an authorized repair shop. The rest is on Air Temp. The 5-year backup. That's confidence. Confidence in something only Air Temp offers in air conditioning. Chrysler Engineering. See the yellow pages for the dealer nearest you. And choose Chrysler Air Temp with confidence. And now back to Fibber McGee and Chuck Shaden at 79 Wistful Vista.
I wonder what else this old set's got left in it from when.
I keep telling you, Mr. McGee, the one I'd like to
hear... The Henry Show?
The Great Gildersleeve.
Come
on, Mr. McGee, see if we can't tune in Summerfield. I'd like to hear Marjorie and Leroy.
Oh, yeah, well, the kids were okay.
And Mr. Peavy and Bertie, Judge Hooker.
Oh, I forgot all about old Judge Hooker. Hey, I wonder if he's the one that wrote that book called The Happy Who. No, I guess it wasn't him.
I'm sure it wasn't.
No, Judge Hooker never was happy. He was a real sourpuss. Being around Gildersleeve would give anybody a sourpuss. I'd rather listen to somebody cheerful like Eddie Cantor.
Eddie Cantor, yeah. He was on Wednesdays, wasn't he?
Sure.
I love to spend
each Wednesday with you. We'll have to reach way back here. Hey, listen. I think I'm getting... Yeah.
How do you do?
Eddie Cantor.
You are?
I'm Sablon. I'm Jean Sablon.
I can see you're not going the other way. Russian, Mr. Sablon has recently come here from Paris.
Just my hometown. Mr. Sabloni.
Sablon. Sablon.
Why do you care? You make a living. Russian, tell me, where did you spend most of your time in Paris?
Near the forest for a year.
Yeah.
I went there 7 times, but I couldn't see a thing.
Why not?
Tampa was sitting in front of me.
Did you see the balloon dancer?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I was there that terrible night when the balloon broke. Everybody applauded but me.
Why didn't you upload?
I didn't want to drop my slingshot. Why, Russian, how could you?
I was a perfect gentleman. When I saw her predicament, I ran up and gave her my hat.
Why did you give me your coat?
Silly boy.
Now, Russian, wait a minute now.
Yes?
You were never in Paris. That's nothing but a lie.
That statement calls for an apology. So I apologize.
All right, apologize.
My dear John Salami. Tableau.
Fresh Russian.
My name is Salami. I'm in Tableau.
What can you expect from a foreigner?
Russian, you are nothing but an imposter.
You have insulted me, my sure. And I challenge you to a duel. Choose your weapons.
Very well. Shotguns at four paces.
Okay. Shotguns at four paces. I'll meet you in Griffith Park at 4 a.m. And if I'm not there at exactly 4 o'clock...
Yes?
Start without me.
You know, I'd almost forgotten about the Mad Russian. He was a regular on the Kander Show for quite a while, wasn't he?
Yeah, a guy named Bert Gordon played the Mad Russian.
Mm.
And you heard what he'd done to Kander's guest. He got to be almost as popular as Kander.
Well, Eddie Kander was really big on radio and for a long time. Matter of fact, he started a lot of people on their careers by giving them guest spots on his radio show.
Yeah, I think Burns and Allen did their first radio on the Eddie Kander Show. Dinah Shore started there.
Yeah, so did Deanna Durbin and Bobby Green.
Yeah, and Larry Thor.
Larry Thor? Was he with Kander?
No, but I had to say something, because here he comes again. Come in.
Hiya, pal. Hi, Chuck.
Hi, Larry.
Oh, hi, Breezy. I thought you were back at the radio station with Mr. District Attorney, Champion of the People, et cetera, and so forth.
Well, I'm still with him in spirit, chum. In fact, I kind of see myself as a champion of the people, too.
Why is that?
Because, pal, every chance I get, I remind people of certain important facts about Chrysler Air Temp room air conditioners.
Oh, now I've gone and done it. You mean you go around buttonholing respectable citizens just to flap your jaw about room air conditioners?
Of course, pal. When that lucky old sun beats down through the windows this summer, you'll need more than a positive mental attitude to stay cool.
I know the problem, Junior. What's your solution?
An Air Temp room air conditioner.
Oh.
You see, this is Chrysler Air Temp's 40th anniversary, and there's no better time for people to plug in a new Air Temp unit.
It's a good year for Air Temp room air conditioners, is it?
Every year is a good year for Air Temp room air conditioners. They've come up with some terrific models over the past few summers.
I remember the summer of 34. That was a real scorcher. I come up from Peoria to see the World's Fair in Chicago.
Take our brand new model this year, the Imperial 2. It's perfect for the living room, dining room, or recreation room.
This good-looking blonde gal did a little dance there. Sally Rand, her name was. Come think of it, she must have been suffering from the heat, too, the way she kept waving them fans.
As I was saying, pal, Air Temp's Imperial 2 keeps family and guests cool and comfortable. It has a 3-speed fan and an adjustable temperature control that's hidden behind an attractive door.
Hey, Junior, does Air Temp have anything in the ostrich plume line?
I'm afraid not, pal. But the Imperial 2 comes in 13 models, from 6,500 to 18,000 BTUs. There are several high-efficiency Imperial 2s. A number of others provide electric stripped heating as well as cooling. And as you know, Air Temp puts something into room air conditioners nobody else can.
And what might that be?
Chrysler Engineering, pal.
Oh.
Only Air Temp room air conditioners have it, and that means extra care in engineering. You know what people say. You can choose Chrysler Air Temp with confidence.
And where can our listeners get more information, said Little Fibber?
From their nearest Air Temp dealer. He has the complete 1974 Air Temp line of room air conditioners on display now. Just turn the dial of your magic radio to the local station for his name and address.
I'll give it a whirl.
In St. Joseph, Missouri, your Chrysler Air Temp dealer is Johnston Furnace. And in Chillicothe, Missouri, your Chrysler Air Temp dealer is Box and Tie. See their complete line of Air Temp room air conditioners soon. Why not make a note of those names? That's Johnston Furnace in St. Joseph and Botched and Tie in Chillicothe.
Look, Mr. McGee, while we were listening, Mr. Thor disappeared.
Probably got so excited by his own words, he went all to pieces.
Come Come on now, Mr. McGee. Let's see if we can't get one of those old programs from Summerfield.
And listen to Gildersleeve?
After all, you guys were neighbors for years. You went through a lot together.
I'll say we did. Most of it was his fault, too.
I don't think you're being fair. You know, last time I heard, he didn't have one bad word to say about you. He
must have had laryngitis.
Actually, he seemed a little homesick for Wistful Vista.
He did, huh?
Yeah. Say, didn't you two once have an argument over the property line between your houses?
Oh, yeah, I'll never forget that. Gildy claimed my garage was on his land, and I finally hired a surveyor to check it out.
And the surveyor informed Gildersleeve that your houses were built in the wrong lot.
Yeah.
That he'd have to give you his house and take this one.
Yeah. You should have heard him scream.
You were very generous, though. You agreed to let him keep his house and drop the whole matter.
Yeah. I didn't tell him the surveyor I hired was an out-of-work actor, that I gave him $10 to scare the junior out of old Gildy. He always was a pigeon.
And you always outsmarted him, didn't you?
Yeah, I guess I did kind of take advantage of the old poop. You know, it might be fun to tune him in at that.
That's what I've been saying.
Probably be sick of him in 3 minutes. Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve always was as full of hot air as a subway in August. But he was...
You're a hard man, McGee.
That's his voice. He always used to say that one. Hey, that's not the radio.
What? Why, it's Mr. Gildersleeve.
Gildy.
In the pink, quivering flesh. Yes. Yeah.
My gosh. If you ain't a sight for sore eyes.
Hello, little chum. And hello to you.
Chuck. Chuck Shaden.
Chuck? Oh, yes. I knew it was a roast of some kind.
Oh, sure.
You know what they call a Chuck roast these days, McGee?
What?
A Charles. Yeah.
Sit down, Gildy. Take the load off your busted arches. Park the pork in a chair there.
I can't stay very long. I just slipped in the back door to surprise you and bring you the news, McGee. I'm moving back to Wistful Vista.
Moving back to here? No kidding.
In fact, I'm dickering to buy my old house back. We'll be next-door neighbors again.
Oh, isn't that great? Yeah, that is good news, Gildy. Tell you the truth, I have kind of missed you around here.
I've missed you too, little pal.
Oh, that's a good scene.
My gosh, let me look at you again. You look just the same as ever. You haven't changed in 20 years.
Well, thank you.
Not much, anyhow. Of course, you have got older.
Well, naturally.
A lot older. And fatter, too. A heck of a lot fatter.
Oh, now, just a minute, McGee.
How much fat have you put on since you left here, besides all the fat you already had?
I haven't put on any fat at all. I have added some extra muscle. But a little shrimp like you wouldn't know about muscle.
Muscles? In the front of your stomach? Look at him, Chuck. He's got a roll of blubber around his middle that'd carry a bull moose through a Chicago winter.
Oh! Now see here, you insulting little... No. No, sir, I'm not going to let you get under my skin, McGee.
That's good.
I don't blame you. There's barely room enough under your skin for you. Relax, Gildy. I'm just kidding.
Oh, of course he is.
Yes, of course. I should have known.
What made you decide to move back here, Mr. Gildersleeve?
Well, as you know, my boy, I've had a long career as water commissioner of Summerfield.
He had some beautiful stationery, Chuck. Very impressive.
It was, huh?
Yeah. It says, Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve, W.C. I thought W.C. stood for water closet, so I figured he was in charge of the men's room.
You'll have to ignore my moronic little chum's twisted humor, Chuck. In spite of his big mouth and small mind, he's really very kind-hearted.
I know he is.
You betcha.
He still goes out to the monkey cage at the zoo every Sunday and feeds bananas to his grandfather. Now that I'm retired from politics, McGee, I'll go with you.
Retired, huh? That's why you're moving out of Summerfield.
Yes, I'm ending a long and glorious career.
On the lam, huh? What happened, Gildy? They catch you with your hand in a contractor's pocket?
What? Certainly not. Nobody caught me with my hand.
Too slick for them, huh?
Yes. No. I've never had my hand in anybody's pocket. You know it. That's ridiculous.
That is a pretty crude accusation, Mr. McGee.
Yeah. Gildy wouldn't do a dumb thing like that. You'd have him leave it in a phone booth, huh? Where you could pick it up on your way home.
Of course not. McGee, I...
Tell us, please. Don't... Oh, my gosh. How'd they get the money to you? Mail it in a plain brown wrapper? So the neighbors would think it was one of those pornographic magazines? Everybody knows you subscribed to all them.
Stop this, you insulting little punk. I ought to punch you right in the nose.
Oh, yeah. You raise a fist to me, you big blob, and I'll...
Gentlemen, please.
Who are you calling a gentleman? Not him.
He certainly doesn't mean you, you ill-mannered, ill-tempered, illiterate.
Who are you calling ill, you beetle-brown blowhard? I'm as healthy as you are.
You're healthier than I am, because I'm sick of you.
Well, go home. Nobody asked you here in the first place.
I am going. Back to Summerfield.
Good.
I wouldn't move next door to you if Marlena Dietrich moved in with me. Goodbye.
Boy, was he mad.
What a grouch. I told you we'd be sick of him in 3 minutes.
Seemed to be mutual.
I'm glad I don't have to listen to him anymore because I just get so... Hey, what's happening?
Slamming that door must have woke up the radio. I wonder what program you got.
The Kraft Foods Company presents The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
The Great Gildersleeve, starring Harold Perry, brought to you by the Kraft Foods Company, makers of parquet margarine and a complete line of famous quality food products. Now let's see what Gildersleeve has on his mind. Arriving home rather late from the office, he finds dinner just about ready.
There's a letter there for you, Miss Gildersleeve.
Oh? Good evening, my dear.
Hello, Unky.
Pardon me here while I, Let's go in and eat.
Well, Unky, what is it?
Yeah, what is it, Unc?
Invitation to some fool ball.
Unky, don't tear it up. Let me see it.
Now, throw it in the waste paper basket when you get through with it. I want things neat around here for a change.
The Summerfield Historical Society invites you to attend its yesteryear ball. Saturday evening, March 30th, in the Grand Ballroom of the Summerfield Hotel. Come dressed as one of your ancestors. Oh, Unky, what fun!
Yes.
Admission $5 per couple.
Oh.
Proceeds to provide fund for renovation of the old Apted mansion. Unky, aren't you going?
I should say not.
But why?
Make a monkey of myself in some clown suit? No, thank you.
But you're not supposed to wear a clown suit. You're supposed to go as an ancestor.
In a monkey suit.
Our ancestors were not monkeys, Leroy. Not recently.
Who were they, anyway?
Who were who?
Our ancestors.
Our ancestors? Well, they were people. Good-worthy people, I dare say. Some of them quite distinguished, no doubt. As a matter of fact, I don't know a great deal about them.
Francie's always boasting about her ancestors. She claims they were all rich. I wish I knew more about mine. I'd like to put her in her place.
It doesn't matter who your ancestors were, my dear, as long as you're somebody. Now, in my own case, you know me as your uncle. It probably does not occur to you that someday I shall become an ancestor.
When?
Let's not rush it. But when I am, when that time comes, I shall probably be remembered not for what I am, but for what I've accomplished.
How do you mean?
Well, go wash your hands, Leroy. Don't ask so many questions. If you want to find out about your ancestors, Marjorie, write to Aunt Matilda. She's the family historian. She knows all about that nonsense. I don't put any stock in it myself. Well, kids, what'll it be this evening? How about a good game of rummy? Marjorie, game of rummy?
I have to finish this letter.
Letter? Who are you writing to?
Aunt Matilda.
Oh? Give her my love. Well, Leroy, I guess it's you and I, then. Tell you what, I'll trim you at a game of checkers.
Sorry, I have to do my homework.
What a family. Everybody's got to do something. Well, I suppose I could read a book.
What do you know? I'm just going to read a book.
Is there anything so remarkable about that?
You never read books.
I never get time, that's why. As a matter of fact, reading is my favorite pastime. Favorite pastime. Yes, sir, books are man's best friend. Just a quiet evening with a good book. I don't know a better way to pass the time. I wonder what Leela's doing.
I thought you were going to read, Unc.
How could I read when you keep talking to me? Think I'll go out and get some air. Oh, Leela, what you doing?
Well, to tell the truth, Throckmorton, I'm just a teensy bit put out with you. But as long as you're here, come in.
Thanks. What are you mad at me about, Leela?
Just throw your coat on the chair there anywhere. I have a fire going in the living room.
Great. By George, there's nothing like an open fire. I was just telling the children, there's nothing I'd rather do than sit by an open fire and read.
The books are on the shelves there. Help yourself.
I mean when there's nothing else to do. Leela, why are you mad at me, huh?
I've been sort of expecting I might hear from you, Throckmorton, but I haven't.
Well, I've been terribly busy, Leela. I'm sorry.
Judge Hooker hasn't been too busy. He's invited me to go to the yesteryear ball with him.
Leela, you're not going with that old goat.
I haven't decided. I've had a number of invitations. I shall probably go with the gentleman whose costume goes best with my own.
Costume? What are you wearing?
I'm going as my great-great-grandmother, DeLacy.
Your great-great...
Oh, when she was a young girl, of course.
Uh-huh.
She was a great belle in New Orleans.
Oh?
She was part French.
Well, French, eh? Say, that ought to be all right.
Oh, you should just see the gown I'm wearing, Throckmorton. I hope you won't think it's too wicked. It has a hoop skirt now, and then I wear one of those beautiful white padded wigs and a little black beauty patch to make me fascinating.
Well, I think I'll go to this ball.
Oh, I love costume balls, don't you?
Love them. Oh,
you should see the judge's costume. He has the most wonderful idea.
The judge? What's he going to wear? A pair of horns and some goatskin breeches?
Silly. You know that portrait that hangs over his fireplace, General Thaddeus Hooker? He's gone as a revolutionary general. Wouldn't it be perfect with my costume?
Oh, don't go with him, Leela. Go with me.
But I sort of promised Throckmorton. Besides, I wouldn't want to go with somebody who was going to be dressed like a policeman or a water commissioner or something unromantic.
Listen, I'll be as romantic as anybody there.
Well, I don't know. Did you ever have any ancestors, Throckmorton?
Did I ever have any ancestors? Did I ever have any ancestors? I don't know, but I'll find out.
We'll get back to Fibber and Chuck in just a minute. You know, Chrysler Air Temp's 40th anniversary is more than just another happy occasion. It's the perfect time to remember how fortunate we are in this day and age. Well, sure, I like the good old days as much as the next person, but then was then and now is now. And while most everything else has changed radically since the good old days, at least one thing has stood the test of time. Air Temp's dedication to quality in room air conditioners. Today, Air Temp puts something into room air conditioners nobody else can. Chrysler Engineering. Take their 1974 line, for example. There's an AirTemp room air conditioner for every budget and cooling need from 5,000 to 33,000 BTUs. See them all now at your nearby Chrysler AirTemp dealer. Right up front, there's the powerful new Imperial 2, available in 13 models. Then there's the compact sleeper for bedroom cooling and the versatile master series for big area cooling. In addition, your air temp dealer has a number of 7.5-amp units that plug in and play without special wiring. Units with electric strip heat options and a wide variety of high-efficiency units. This season, he also has something more. An air temp 40th anniversary offer for everybody who stops in and looks over his 1974 line. It's a rib-tickling comedy record of the good old days of radio. It features great comedy stars and great comedy shows from original broadcasts of the 1940s and 50s. A $5.95 value, it's yours for only a dollar. And it lets you enjoy the humorous highlights of radio's golden age again and again. Remember, see your local Air Temp dealer for a look at his new 1974 line. And get our exclusive comedy record, a great Air Temp value from the good old days for only a dollar. Look in the yellow pages under air conditioning and choose Chrysler Air Temp with confidence. And now, let's get back to Fibber McGee and Chuck Shaden at 79 Wistful Vista.
I always knew Gildersleeve had a face that could stop a clock, but I didn't know his voice was going to stop this radio. I can't get a thing out of it now.
Oh, gosh, there's still so much more to hear Thursday and Friday and Saturday. I want to hear a whole week of good old radio.
You're going to hear a whole week of Silent Night if I don't get this thing going again. I'll have to take it all apart, I guess. You better come back some other time.
Well, okay. Well, maybe we can listen to Thursday next time. There were some swell shows on Thursday. Rudy Vallee was on.
Yeah, and Bing Crosby on the Kraft Music Hall.
And Henry Aldridge, the Aldridge family.
Yeah, and there was a kid I went to school with, too, named Eddie Vach.
Eddie Vach?
Yeah, his old man had a show on Thursdays.
What was it called?
Vox Pop. Don't you get it, Chuck? I says, it's a play on the words based on the similarity between... Oh, never mind.
Tain't funny, McGee.
Oh, sure. That's what Doc Gamble said when I tried it on him.
Good night, Mr. McGee.
Oh, good night.
You've been listening to Fibber McGee and the Good Old Days of Radio, presented by the makers of Chrysler Air Temp, air conditioning for the home, for business, and for industry. With Jim Jordan, Chuck Shaden, tonight's special guest Hal Perry, and me, Larry Thor.